Saints, our sermon text for this morning is from Psalms. Book of Psalm, chapter 37, I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, saints, this morning, it says Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, but it's my intention to preach through the entirety of Psalm 37. I just didn't want to read the whole thing. It's not exactly short, but verses 1 through 11 at least give us sort of the main message that the rest of the psalm continues to expound upon. So I will be preaching through all of Psalm 37. I love Psalm 37. And I think it's very applicable to the times we are living in now. This psalm has remarkable clarity. It's very easy to understand. It's very clearly instructive. It contains many promises, and it repeats those promises again and again, which we need to hear. And they are promises that are very easy to grasp. This psalm tells us, it teaches us exactly what we're to do, as well as what we're not to do. Both. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We find ourselves in a situation or in circumstances, we have no idea what to do. It can be a tremendous help in those times, if you know by experience, to simply know at least to start with, what I can't do, what I must not do, what not to do. You can think of it as like guardrails. You think of a man who has a problem with his temper, or as we would say, indulges his anger too much. And it's a real problem. Now, he may not know what to do instead, but at least we could start with this. You need to stop doing that. That has to stop. Now, here in this psalm, though, again, we're given both. We're told very clearly, the first words, fret not. We're told very clearly over and over again what not to do, and we're told again and again throughout this entire psalm what we are to do instead. It provides us a very easy to understand roadmap, a roadmap for times of trouble and uncertainty, and when conspiracies abound, and when there's great distrust in so many things, in institutions and in leaders. I think in large part this comes from the COVID years. At least that's what was a catalyst to really bring it to light. The lockdowns and the mask mandates, the complete exposure of the leftist bias of all of our news media, at least with regard to the Trump administration, just thinking about what's been exposed. There's not even a mask anymore. The masks have all fallen to the ground. The complete exposure of the leftist indoctrination that's been taking place for so long at colleges and universities, all of that corruption. And as more and more distrust of everything we've been told and taught, to where we're at the point now where there's discussions being had that maybe Adolf Hitler was the hero of World War II and Winston Churchill, he was the villain. Everything's being re-examined. Everything's being put back on the table. Who can you believe? Who can you trust? All of that, as you can imagine, can lead to anger, despair, nihilism, darkness, and fretting. There's a term for it. It's called being black-pilled. So we need a biblical response to all of this, because this is a growing problem among young Christian men. It's here. Now, with this psalm and its remarkable clarity and its instruction, we don't even have to argue about the facts of any of that. Just grant it all. Grant it, it's all been a lie. The question remains. There's a question that absolutely must be answered. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Or as Francis Schaeffer put it in his excellent book, well, how then shall we live? Just grant it all. Well, then how then shall we live then, if it's all true that it's all a lie? What path are you going to follow? Now, for me, Psalm 37 is where I'm going to start. If you're a Christian, here's your path. You must hold to this psalm and what it teaches. This is the path. Now, the clarity of the path that is provided for us here does not in any way mean that it's easy to follow and to obey, because it's not. It takes faith. You need faithful, and there's the key word, faithful brothers and sisters. You need faithful pastors and elders, not influencers, not YouTubers, not vloggers, not grifters. You need the church, not the internet. You're not meant to do this alone. None of us are. So I thank God for this psalm, for Psalm 37, and the peace that it gives through clarity of purpose. The right way to go and the wrong way to go. What we must fix our minds on in this time of great uncertainty and deception, this psalm gives us truth, it gives us certainty, and it provides us with clear direction forward. Praise God. Now, a few more remarks before we start going through verse by verse. Derek Kidner, in his excellent commentary on the psalm, says there's no finer exposition of the third beatitude than this psalm. He thinks this is an exposition of the third beatitude, which is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. This fully expounds on that idea. It's considered a wisdom psalm, Psalm 37. And as a matter of fact, some of the verses here are nearly identical to many verses in Proverbs. So right here in this one psalm, it's like you have Psalms and Proverbs mixed into one. The psalm speaks to man, not to God. And here is the central message of this psalm: the righteous man's security. The righteous man's security. So here's a good opportunity to pause and ask yourself this question: what is your security in? What ultimately makes you feel secure? Think about that for a moment. Okay, Psalm 37, starting at verse 1. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers, and be not envious of wrongdoers. Verse 2, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Okay, first, we got to deal with these words, fret not. What exactly does fret mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, it's going to be something along the lines of worrying excessively, being continually anxious. But in the Hebrew, there's more. In the Hebrew, it's more about getting heated, getting all worked up and heated, especially over things you can't control. To get heated up and angry about something that you lack the power to change. That's what it means to fret. And we're being told right out of the gate, first words, don't do that. Fret not. Do not fret. So this is a graciously clear command for us. Graciously clear. Don't fret because of evildoers, whoever they are, seen or unseen. Don't do it. And if you are, stop. And instead, do what this psalm says. Now we're gonna build on that and unpack that more as we go through the psalm, because that's gonna be repeated. But before we do that, we need to look at this this being envious of wrongdoers. What does that mean? Who in the world would be envious of wrongdoers? Is that like a temptation for us as Christians? Like you think of Antifa, do we struggle with being envious of them? Or corrupt politicians? Think of George Soros. Is there a problem in the church of us being envious of these wrongdoers? Well, I don't think so, but there are different forms that wickedness and wrongdoing can take. I mean, we can think of celebrities, movie stars. Certainly when I was a younger man, a lot has changed since I was a younger man, but that was a big thing. Hollywood movie stars, the super wealthy. Perhaps nowadays it could be men or women who simply have a very large platform, we would say. A huge following. Perhaps there could be some envy there. But listen to this. Listen to this excerpt from Psalm 73, from Asaph. Psalm 73, beginning at verse 3. He admits, Asaph does, I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Ah, there it is. He says in verse 4, they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. Verse 5, they're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. And he goes on to list their characteristics, the characteristics of the wicked. Verse 12, behold, these are the wicked. They're always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain, I've kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long, I've been stricken, rebuked every morning. If I had said, quote, I will speak thus, end quote. In other words, he's saying, if I had started talking like this out loud, what I'm thinking, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. Verse 16, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until, and here's the big turn. So I love this psalm. I love Psalm 73. Here's the big shift. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went to church. Then he says, I discerned their end. Truly, you have set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Saints, this is about taking the long view, the long game, the long view. We have got to cultivate within ourselves this biblical perspective. Now, something else for us to consider is that maybe at any given time, God's judgments are curses, his judgments and curses, they're coming, but they simply haven't arrived yet for the evildoer or the wrongdoer. God is perhaps in that stage, and this is terrifying to think about, of giving them over to their sin and debauchery and whatever it is. He does that. So he's in that process of giving them over to themselves. So at the moment, it appears as they're getting everything they want. It appears that things look great for them, but be not deceived and do not be envious of the wrongdoer. Man in his pomp will not remain, Psalm 49 says. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. You know, I can look back on my life as a young man, and I did have dreams, and this sounds very cheesy to say, of being a rock and roll star. So if you want to know, after college, that's what I dreamed about. Sounds cringe now. And so there were rock and rollers, artists, that I did envy. I envied their talent. I envied what they had. I saw them being raised on MTV, and I wanted those things. I wanted the talent. I wanted to be in a successful band like that, in a club or an arena. I didn't care, but those were things that appealed to me. And of course, these guys I'm watching and envying are, they're less than good people. And it's crazy to see now they're so much older and apparently desperate for money because they try to come back on stage and it's very cringe. Let's just say they're no longer in their pomp. So there's a warning here for us, though. If we envy or admire men or women, you know, think of Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift right now, I think we could all agree, she's in her pomp. She's in her prime. Well, if we envy or if we admire those things, we can be led astray or even worse. So again, listen to the words. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of wrongdoers, for they, both groups, will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. The key word there is green. Green means life. But it doesn't stay that way. The seasons of life change. The grass eventually turns brown and crunches under our feet. And the plant eventually withers and dies, and another plant comes and takes its place. That, saints, is the long view. And we've got to maintain that view in our minds and in our hearts. Now, as we continue, instead of fretting or being envious, instead, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So instead of fretting, instead of getting all worked up and heated up at evildoers, whoever they are, instead of those things, trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to him. Here's clear direction from God's word for God's people in troubled times or times of upheaval and uncertainty. These are very gracious and good commands. And here's more of them. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Again, fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Don't do it. Stop. And be still before the Lord. In other words, recognize who he is. Remember who he is. And in so doing, you're reorienting yourself. You're getting a true biblical perspective. Verse 8, refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Again, for the third time, fret not yourself. Why? Because it tends only to evil. 4, and here's the guarantee, 4, evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. That's a promise. That's a promise, and that is a guarantee from God himself. Now, this promise here of inheriting the land is going to show up 8 times throughout this psalm, Psalm 37. 8 times, over and over again. So that's what our focus needs to be on. And this keeps us from anger or fretting and seeking wrath, which, as we are told and we must believe and understand, only tends to evil. As we read in the New Testament, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, And James 1, the anger of man doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. It doesn't. Young men need to hear this. What really happened at 9/11? Was it a government conspiracy? Who's really behind all of the evil in our society? Who's pulling the strings and levers behind all of the debauchery and the pornography, sowing of destructive ideologies like Marxism and critical theory? Who really killed Charlie Kirk? Is everything fixed? Do we really live in the matrix? The Almighty God says, don't fret. Do not fret. Your heavenly Father, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, is telling you, don't fret, because that only tends to evil. So don't do that. Now the question we have to all ask ourselves is, what are you going to say to that? How are you going to respond to that clear command of God? Verse 10. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. And though you look carefully at his place, he won't be there. They come and they go. That's the way of it. And where are they now? That's the way of the wicked. They're like tumbleweed. They come and they blow across, do whatever they're going to do, whatever God permits them to do for his own glory, and then they go. And here comes another one to take its place. Our sense of timing, saints, our sense of timing needs to conform to God's. We don't need to have God conform to our sense of timing. It's the long view. Also here we have this idea of the wicked being destroyed also appears or is stated 8 times in this psalm. So consider and take this to heart. The righteous are inheritors. That's what they are. The righteous are inheritors. They inherit everything, ultimately in Christ, because Christ owns everything. Everything's in him. We are in Christ. We inherit everything. And not only the land now, which is the promise here at the time of the writing of this psalm, but for us it's everything. It's the earth and everything. The wicked, by contrast, are losers. They're losers in the absolute truest sense of that word. They're completely cut off. They lose everything, and they never get anything back ever, forever. But as we read here, continuing on in verse 11, the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. There's the inheritance again. And here we have the third beatitude. But listen to what Jesus said. There's a subtle change here, but it's an important one. Matthew 5:5, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So we go from land, which was the promise given to God's people at that time, Israel, and now, through Jesus' own mouth, the promised one, it's the earth. And under the new covenant, this abundant peace we have is the peace of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Philippians 4:7. Verse 12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. Now that's my Lord. Is that your Lord? Does your Lord laugh at the wicked? Mine does. He laughs at the wicked, we're told, because he sees and he knows that his day is coming. This is very reminiscent of Psalm 2. There's 3 psalms where we read that the Lord is laughing at the wicked. Psalm 2, Psalm 59, and Psalm 37 here. Psalm 2, why do the nations rage? Why are the people plotting in vain? The kings of the earth are setting themselves. The rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Now, here's a question for us to consider. Why are you going to fret when the Lord's laughing? Why are we going to fret over evildoers? when the Lord's up in heaven and he's laughing about it because he knows their day is coming to an end. He's already installed his anointed one, Jesus Christ, who's ruling and reigning. So he's laughing. Why are we fretting? Doesn't make any sense. So when you think of evildoers, when you think of the evil plots that are going on in the world, this is why it is so important to know what God has revealed in his word. This is why you've got to know your Bibles. And to have that knowledge, to have this truth, frame your outlook. Grifters and the godless always, always are going to lead you away from God's word. Verse 14, listen to how God operates. This is how he operates. Verse 14, the wicked draw their sword and they bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy and to slay those whose way is upright. Verse 15, their sword shall enter their own heart and their bows shall be broken. So again, saints, this is about what you're focusing on. Are you focusing on God and who he is, or are you focusing on man and what man is doing at any given time? Are you focusing on the creator or the creature? We must trust in the Lord. Now again, is that easy? No, it's not easy. So trusting in the Lord means, here's what it means. Trusting in the Lord means trusting in his appointed means. Trusting in the Lord means trusting in his appointed means. We've been learning about this downstairs in family study as we go through the Westminster Confession of Faith. There's my plug again, by the way. People say they like it, so if you're not listening, tune in. Very instructive. Trusting in the Lord means trusting in his appointed means. Now, his appointed means of two things. His appointed means both of delivering you out of trouble. Ultimately, that's expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the means of sending his son, he delivers us from his wrath. There's his appointed means in that regard, deliverance, salvation. And there's also his appointed means for providing for, whether it be our daily bread or the bread of the Lord's Supper or all other things that we need that only he can supply. And this is what we call, again, his ordinary means of grace. Ordinarily, these are the means, these are the ways that he provides for his people. We need his grace. We need God's grace. So what this all means is that we have to be diligent and we have to be intentional about attending to those means by which and through which he, God, ordinarily distributes or pours out that grace to and upon his children. So these would be Lord's Day worship, Bible reading and studying, prayer, your pastors, your faithful brothers and sisters in the Lord. You must be diligent of attending to those things because those things are the ordinary means, ordinarily, that God pours out and distributes his grace to his people. Those things. All of that. That's what trusting in the Lord means. And that's having that understanding takes that phrase, trust in the Lord. It keeps it from being just a Christian-y slogan and actually having real substance. So we're attending those means in the belief that those things are the vehicles, the ways of receiving what we need from God. Verse 16. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. There's an almost identical proverb, Proverbs 15. Now, why is that true? Why is it true? The better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. Verse 17, for this is why. For the arms of the wicked, again, though they may have a whole lot right now, the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They, the righteous, are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have an abundance. Very, very important principle here for us saints. We have to understand this. Here it is. It's God's covenantal faithfulness and his tender care for his people right in the midst of calamities. That's the lesson here. That's the principle. In evil times, the way that God takes care of those who are his in the midst of calamity, or as his judgments are going abroad in the society in which they live. So while God's judgments are abroad, affecting the society because of sin and wickedness, as the society is experiencing calamity, great calamity even, God's people, those believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, can, in the midst of that, rest assured that the Lord is going to take care of them in the midst of all of that. He has a special providence for his people. So we need not fret or be anxious. And again, we have to take and we have to maintain the long view. God has, and he will have, he will always have a special care for his people in any and in every situation. And this again is an aspect of his providence. Now, all of that, of course, is not at all true for the wicked. Verse 20, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Again, just like in verse 2, as we read, green grass and herbs and plants. The wicked will vanish away like smoke. Their time is limited, very limited. But you have to have the long view to understand that. Verse 21, the wicked borrows. Here's more characteristics between the wicked and the righteous. You can ask yourself, do I have these characteristics of the righteous here? Verse 21, the wicked borrows, but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. Verse 22, for those blessed by the Lord shall, and here we have it again, inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I've been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Though he fall. Again, talked about this with Psalm 23. The Lord never promises to his children that we will not experience difficult or hard times. That's not a guarantee that the Lord makes. What he does promise us, and what is a guarantee, is that he will be with us right in the midst of whatever that situation is, whatever that difficulty is, that tribulation, that trial. He'll be with us right in it. And we will not, therefore, fall headlong as the wicked will. And so for this reason, we do not need to fear evil. And we do not need to fret. And we do not need to be anxious. Isaiah 43, through the prophet Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, the Lord says, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. You can ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they were put in there. So he's not sparing us of these things. These are significant trials and tribulations. The promise is always, again, that he will be with you right in the midst of it. No one can pluck you out of his hand. And he uses these things for his children. He uses these things. He uses them to test our faith and to grow us up into maturity. Now, in light of that, we have here next almost a repetition of verses 3 through 9, starting at verse 27. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice, and again, he will not forsake his saints. Believe that, saints. They are preserved forever, but again, and here we have this very sharp contrast, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. And here we have even more characteristics again of the wicked and the righteous. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. Verse 32, the wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. But the Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Now it is true, we may be in the power of the wicked for a time, but ultimately we will not be left there. So verse 34, wait for the Lord. Keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. And now he goes into some eyewitness testimony. Verse 35, I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought for him, he could not be found. Again, saints, this must shape how you see the world and how you see the people in it. Don't be deceived by your own eyes. Faith penetrates deeper, and the righteous live by faith. There's a warning here, too, that we must understand that wicked and ruthless men, wicked, ruthless men can often appear as nice guys. Christian, you need to know that. You need to understand that. If you don't, you're going to be just looking out for and avoiding the obnoxious jerks in society, or the crooked politician, or the crooked business mogul, or the prosperity preacher, all the while completely missing the very, very nice guy in your midst, who, when poked in the right spot, you see that mask drop, and you see his true colors. Now listen to this exhortation, verse 37. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there's a future for the man of peace. Mark and behold. Who? Not the wicked. Not the one who is, perhaps at the present time, spreading himself out like a green laurel tree. Not him. Focus your attention on the wise. Focus your attention on the righteous, on the upright, and don't be deceived. Verse 38, but transgressors shall be altogether destroyed, and the future of the wicked shall be cut off. They have no future. They have no future. But you have to remember the long game. You have to take and you have to maintain and cultivate the long view. Verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. Not godless influencers, not YouTubers or grifters. He, the Lord, is their stronghold. The Lord helps them. The Lord delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and he saves them. Why? Because they take refuge in him. Conclusion. One more verse I want to read. It's from our Old Testament reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah says this, verse 11 of chapter 8. The Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and he warned me of what? He warned me with his strong hand upon me. Isaiah says, the Lord warned me not to walk in the way of this people. And he said, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, verse 13, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. As we stated back at the beginning, as we look at this psalm as a whole, Psalm 37, as Calvin points out, all of this depends upon the providence of God. And that's why it's important for us to understand and know God's providence. Because unless we're persuaded that the world is in fact governed by him in righteousness and truth, our minds will soon stagger and at length they will entirely fail us. And he's right. Calvin's right. We've got to be convinced. Our understanding of God's providence, of his absolute power and his governance of the world has to be more for us than some abstract doctrine floating in the air of our minds. It has to be more than something you, Christian, merely affirm. It has to be more than that. You have to be, in other words, you have to be thoroughly convinced. You have to know this in your bones, in the marrow of your bones. And all of this is about maintaining and cultivating the quiet spirit. The quiet spirit right in the midst of trouble and calamity and wickedness and uncertainty. And when there are so many conspiracies abroad, it's the wicked, Scripture teaches. It's the wicked who are never at peace, not the Christian. We have a peace, the peace of Christ, the peace of God in Jesus Christ. It's the wicked who never have true peace. So here's 3 points of direct application for you. Number one, look ahead. I've said it before. Point number one, look ahead. The long view. That is the answer to human schemes. Look ahead. We, as Christians, knowing our God, trusting in his word, stated so clearly here in Psalm 37, we can afford to wait God's time. And he says, blessed are those, in fact, who wait. Remember, we inherit everything. No matter what's going on or who's doing what, we will, as God's children, united by faith to Jesus Christ, we inherit everything. And there is absolutely nothing that can stop that. That is an inexorable fact. Number two, look up. Look ahead, number one. Number two, look up. Consider God. Actually consider him. If you're obsessed with enemies and evildoers, you can't just switch that off and have there be nothing there. You have to replace it or exchange it with a new focus of attention. Become more familiar with this psalm, Psalm 37. Eat it. Meditate on it. Meditate on it not in the sense of emptying your mind, meditating on it in the biblical way of meditation, which is to fill your mind with God's word and ruminate on it, ponder it. Think in terms of desire. Ask yourself this question. Start here. Do you even want to follow and obey this psalm and receive the blessed promises it contains? Do you even just want that? Is that a desire of yours? You could start there. Is that the desire of your heart? Because if it is, praise God, as he says in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So desire it. Cultivate that desire. Pray to God to give you that desire if you don't have it. And then number 3, finally, be constructive. Look ahead. Number 2, look up. Number 3, be constructive. This is put positively in verse 3. Do good. Dwell in the land. This gives us both theological and psychological wisdom. We're no longer turned in on ourselves, and because it is God's way, and it is God's way to overcome evil with good, that's his way. That's the theological. It's like it's your way or it's God's way. And God's way of overcoming evil, he has made that crystal clear. It's by doing good. He does it with good. So do good. That's what the psalm says. Do good. Be constructive in doing good and dwelling in the land. All right, let us pray. Lord, thank you so much that your word does, in fact, speak so clearly and so authoritatively. We thank you, Lord, not only for your precious promises, and we ask you for help in us focusing our minds on them, Lord, but we also thank you for your commands because they are gracious commands to us. They're good commands. We are blessed in the doing of them. But we fall short in so many ways, Lord. We are sinners. We do have remaining corruption. And so we trust in and ask you for and pray for the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us through the preaching of your word, that you would change us from the inside out, that the inside of our cups would be changed, that we would trust in you more. And that by the power you provide, we would obey your most gracious commands to us that are life-giving, not life-taking. Help us, Lord, with this in these times of trouble and uncertainty and conspiracy. Help us through this, Lord, and this knowledge and understanding of what your word has for us, be able to give an answer to those who are struggling with it, who we can be confident will be coming through our doors. Lord, I pray through this trial and tribulation for your church that you would grow and mature your church. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. As we come to this table, the Lord has prepared his table, and it is his table. It's his table of peace and reconciliation through the shed blood and broken body of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's prepared his table for those who love and trust in him for their salvation. So all who are here, who have repented of their sins, who have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and who are not under any discipline from any former church, are welcome to participate at this table. This is a covenant meal. For the promise that is made is to you and your children and to those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. All right, saints, as you are now sent out into the world, and again, you're about to receive the Lord's blessing on your head and the benediction, I'll leave you with these 3 things. Maintain, look ahead. Look up, be constructive in the good things. Follow the roadmap that the Lord has provided for you in these times, right here in Psalm 37. That's just a starting point. Then you have all of God's words quite thick. So know it, obey it, and always look in faith to Jesus Christ. Receive this benediction in faith, saying 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Go in peace.